I'm just curious. You know, we're doing March Madness today. We're going to have some fun and games afterwards. I almost thought about playing a game during my message. Maybe I should have. But how many of you ever remember the game Keep Away? Did you ever play it as a kid where you had, or maybe it was called like Monkey in the Middle or Piggy in the Middle if you're like have some European connection. I guess that's what they call it in England. If you've ever played the game Keep Away or remember what it was like, you might remember, especially if you were the one stuck in the middle, it's not really all that fun of a game, is it? I don't think I've ever observed it as being a fun game. Maybe it's because I'm the youngest of two older brothers, or maybe I was the smallest in my class or whatever, but if you are the kid that's stuck in the middle, especially if it's older siblings playing keep away from you, you know how excruciating and painful that game can be. You try and you think, man, if only I could position myself in the right place, I could intercept that ball, and the ball's being passed and forth, back and forth, and there you are, stuck in the middle, feeling hopeless, wondering if anybody will ever have mercy on you, right? In fact, I wonder if that game was invented not by some kids that were looking to have fun, but by the older siblings, the older brothers who wanted to torment their younger sister or something, right? Have you ever felt that way in life? Like you were stuck in this game of keep away, where the thing you really wanted, you could see it, it was almost within reach, but it was just beyond what you could have. And maybe if you remember what it was like to play that game, you remember how you hoped that somebody would just like drop the ball maybe, and then you'd have your opportunity to grab it and change your position. Or maybe you were hoping that somebody would be empathetic towards you, and they would say, here you go, Benjamin, you can have a turn, I'll give you the ball, and now you don't have to be in the middle anymore, right? And that moment never came. We've all been stuck in the middle of something. We've talked about that throughout this series, and sometimes we're in the middle of raising kids, sometimes we're in the middle of raising parents, right? You know, sometimes we're in that sandwich generation. Sometimes we're in the middle of a job change or transitions at work. Sometimes we're just in the middle of a chaotic life and busy schedules and who knows what, right? I mean, we have all kinds of things going on. Have you ever felt stuck, longing for an opportunity to change your position? Well, today I want to encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to open up to Mark chapter 10, or if you want to go ahead and pull out your phone and use the Bible app and follow along, we're going to be in Mark chapter 10 towards the end of the chapter, and I promise I'm not even going to check to see if you're checking your brackets today, because if you're like me, your bracket's probably just about completely finished by this point in time with the way things are going this year. If we open up to Mark chapter 10, we find the story of a man who found himself stuck in the middle and wanted a middle that he did not choose for himself and wanting to somehow change his position. But rather than falling victim to his circumstances, instead of just giving in, Bartimaeus persisted in his faith until he was rewarded. How was he able to overcome his circumstances? How was he able to persist? Well, today we're going to learn that if we act well now, before the storm comes, we will be able to respond well in our middle moments. If we pack well now, before the storm comes, we'll be able to respond well. In fact, that's our cross point today. If you're following along in the message notes, packing well helps us respond well. And so we begin in chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Our story begins with Jesus and his disciples leaving the town of Jericho. And it says, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, anybody kind of bothered with how they describe Bartimaeus? He's not known for who he is. He's not even known by his own unique person. He's called the blind man, right? He's labeled. He's known better by his labels than for who he actually is. And even his name, it literally means son of Timaeus. So like he doesn't even get his own original name. Like how would you like to go around life being known as the son of, or the daughter of, or blind man, or lame, or whatever kind of labels we've inherited? He is identified first as a blind man, even though he's so much more. Rather than seeing him for who he really is, he's seen for and he's noticed for his disability. And if you know someone, have a loved one or a family member, a close friend with a disability, you understand how frustrating this is, right? Nobody wants to be known for their disabilities. Nobody wants to be known for what makes them different. We want to be known for who we are. A person's life isn't defined by their disability. A good friend of mine from seminary named Brian was somebody who really helped me understand this lesson. I was drawn to Brian because he was probably the most Christ-like person I had ever met. We enjoyed spending time together. We'd play board games, Settlers of Catan. We would hang out together. We would, even after seminary, stay in touch and call each other, like if we had a board meeting that didn't exactly go as we hoped for, or maybe just to chat and share ministry ideas. After Brian was finished with seminary and he was called to be a pastor in the Lutheran church, that his area had asked him if he would be willing to lead a special ministry team for people with disabilities. A special, I think they called it, ministry with those with disabilities team or whatever. And one of the very first things that Brian did was he changed the name of the group to the Definitely Abled Ministry. I love that because Brian wasn't willing to be defined by his disabilities. Brian had cerebral palsy, and yet it didn't let him stop, or didn't let it stop him from going after his goals, from working hard on his speech so that he could be a pastor, so that he could be called, and he could serve God's purpose in his life. Brian was one of many people on my journey that helped me see people for who they are rather than for anything else, rather than their abilities or disabilities. Bartimaeus was known for his labels, not for who he was. And I think that's part of the problem is living in his time and in his day and his culture, it's just the way they operated. Because Bartimaeus was a blind man, he was considered by others to be religiously illiterate. In other words, they didn't think he could possibly know or understand God or anything because he was blind. His society also projected God's judgment upon him, thinking that somehow his blindness must have been the result of sin in his life. And so these are the labels that he carries along, and he's excluded from being able to participate in the rest of the religious society of his day. Bartimaeus wasn't noticed as a person. Instead, he was just one person among many. He blended in with the rest of the crowd of beggars. And so people would be generous because generosity was encouraged, but it was just more out of sympathy than empathy and understanding who he was. Have you been given a name or a label that you wish you could change? Has someone labeled you or given you a name that just kind of labels you right there and in the middle moment that you wish you could change, that something that you believe that God could change? What do you do when life doesn't go according to plan? Do you accept things as the way they are, become victim of your circumstances, or do you struggle and fight to try to find your own voice? I love what the author of the book that goes along with this message series writes. Charlotte Gamble writes in the book, The Miracle in the Middle. She says, blind Bartimaeus was tired of being defined by his deficiency. His name was Bartimaeus, but the place where he lived, his middle, was what defined him. He was labeled for his disability and was tired of being known for what he believed God could change. Don't accept the label of something that you believe God can change. Don't accept the label or the name of something that you believe God can change in your life. And see, I think sometimes we fail to persist through those middle moments because we grow used to those labels, right? Maybe we've heard it ever since we were little, that we weren't quite as smart as our older brother or sister. We weren't necessarily the athletic one, and so we accept those labels and we live into them. We start believing them about ourselves, and we fall victim to our circumstances rather than fighting to find our own voice. When our youngest daughter was born, we chose the name Tirza. Now, it's not a common name. In fact, I think I only knew of two Tirzas before we ever decided to name our daughter Tirza. But we thought this was a beautiful name. Her name literally means my gracious delight. And for those of you that have met Tirza, she's going to be here later on this afternoon, I think. You probably know that she truly is a delight. It's wonderful that we have her as a third child. Maybe God looked at her first two and said, okay, we'll give her Tirza. Usually when we introduce Tirza, we talk about her, people want to know where her name comes from. In fact, her name comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 27. When's the last time you read that? Probably never, right? And in Numbers chapter 27, there's this story that's kind of interesting. Because at this time in culture and the history, and in this time in the Bible, really the stories are dominated by the men. It's all about who you are the son of, and property is passed down from one male descendant to another. But in Numbers chapter 27, we find this interesting story of a man by the name of Zelophehad, who had several daughters, but no male heirs. And so he ends up leaving the land to these women. When we shared this story about Tirza, we had mentioned the name. There was one woman that from the church that we were at that knew that name. And she knew this story pretty well, and she spoke a word of encouragement, kind of a divine word over her, and she said, "You don't have to worry about this child being the youngest, because she will find her own voice, and she will know how to speak up for what she wants and what she needs." Because in this story, you have this man who has these daughters, and there's no male heirs. And so he raises his girls to work the land, to be ready to inherit the land, but there's a problem. When he dies, the law says that the land is going to go to some complete stranger. And so these girls, these daughters, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirza, now you understand why we picked the name Tirza and not one of the others. They go to Moses and they say, "Moses, this isn't right. We've worked hard for this land. Our father wanted to give us the land." And so Moses goes ahead and prays to the Lord. And as a result, the laws are changed at this time. And so these women are able to inherit what was rightfully theirs. It takes courage to find our voice. It took courage for them to speak up, to bring their request to the Lord at a time in which women probably would not have been as welcomed to speak up for their rights. It takes courage to find our voice, to resist the labels that have been given to us, to push through, persisting in our faith, instead of falling victim to our circumstances. Bartimaeus didn't let his labels define who he was. He didn't just accept his position in life. Instead, he found his voice, and he cried out. The story continues at verse 47. It says, "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" You see, instead of hearing Bartimaeus' voice, the crowds and the disciples and everyone else rebuked him. They told him to be quiet because, after all, he's not allowed to participate in the religious society at this time. He is judged, he is ignored, because in their mind, he is not important enough. After all, Jesus is on a mission. They know that Jesus is going to Jerusalem, where he's about to usher in the kingdom of God. This is what they've been waiting for. The disciples have been waiting for all this time as they've been traveling with Jesus. His big moment came, and so he can't possibly be bothered by a poor blind beggar on the side of the road. And so they rebuke this man, and they tell him to be quiet. And I wonder how many times we as a church have been guilty of that. When people have been crying out for Jesus, instead of hearing their cry, instead of hearing their voice, I wonder how many times have we ended up putting up barriers for those who are truly seeking Jesus, instead of guiding them and helping them find Jesus for themselves. How can we change all that? How can we help others find their voice? I wonder how I would have responded if I was Bartimaeus in that situation. I'm crying out to Jesus, I know what I want, I know what I need, and everybody's telling me to be quiet. In the book, The Miracle in the Middle, Charlotte Campbell calls our attention to how we respond to things when they don't exactly go our way. Some people tend to react. If you are a parent with little kids at home, or you got grandkids, you probably remember or know what this looks like, right? That reactive living. That is when you tell your son or daughter that it's time to go, and what do they do? They go over, they put their shoes on, they put their jacket on, and they hop in the car, right? How many? Okay, good, I'm not alone here, right? No, they throw a tantrum, they start to react, "I'm not ready to go, I didn't have time to play." You remember what those moments were like, right? And sometimes we get caught up in our situation, instead of being able to respond well, we end up reacting. reacting to the circumstances. And if you've ever been there before and you've tried to argue and reason with that person, thinking, man, if only I could get them to see my perspective and help them calm down, things would go so much better, right? But instead, what happens? We start to escalate. They get upset, we get upset. They start to cry, we start to cry. They throw things and we, well, okay. The crowds are reacting to Bartimaeus. They are rebuking him without really listening to what he's saying. Reactionary living is like a child throwing a tantrum. You might try to reason with them. You might try to help them see your perspective and assess the situation, thinking, man, if only they could calm down, things would be better. But it only escalates. Reactionary living causes us to fall victim to our circumstances. Either we will end up surrendering and admitting defeat and just give up altogether, or we will put up our dukes and be ready to fight it out to the bitter end. Instead, Bartimaeus doesn't allow the crowd's reaction to disturb him. He doesn't allow it to persuade him. Instead, he responds. He was ready to respond. Rather than getting caught up in the crowd's response, Bartimaeus knew exactly what he needed. And so he continued on the course that he knew he needed to go. He persisted in his faith, crying out to the one who had the power to heal him. When you think about it, our culture today is pretty reactive, isn't it? I mean, all we have to do is turn on the news and we see how they're fighting in Washington and they're just reacting to each other. It's like, come on, aren't we grown-ups? Can't we figure out how to work something out that instead of just pointing fingers and name-calling and going on and on and on? We open up our news feed on Facebook and our friends, they're not much better, are they? Reacting to different posts and just everybody's getting upset. We turn on, everywhere we go, it seems like we encounter some reactive living. But what if we could change that? What if we, as a church, the 50, 60 of us or so, what if we decided, you know what, we're going to work harder on responding rather than reacting? What if we said, you know what, instead of reacting to this situation, I'm going to work really hard to listen well so that I can respond well, that I'm not going to get caught up, and I'm not going to get pulled in and play these games where we just try to yell over top of each other? Could you imagine the good we could do? Instead of letting our voices fall silent, we cannot use our voice to reactive living. Instead, we must persist, because persistence will help our voices to be heard. Persistence helps our voice to be heard. Bartimaeus persisted. He cried out to Jesus. And his cry wasn't just a begging for help or a begging for mercy. It was really a confession of faith. You see, blind Bartimaeus could see what others were blind to. He called Jesus Son of David because he recognized that Jesus was the one they were waiting for, that Jesus was the promised Messiah. So what does Jesus do when he hears this? He stops for him. Jesus stopped and he said, call him. And so they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. You see, Jesus is on the most important mission that he could ever go on. He's heading to Jerusalem where he's about to give his life for our sake, where he's about ready to die for our sins, and yet even on this important journey, Jesus stops for a blind beggar. Why does Jesus stop? Jesus stops because he hears Bartimaeus' voice. Jesus stops because he cared enough for this man and the circumstances that he found himself in. Jesus stops because, think about this, if the man is blind, by stopping, it allows that man to find his way back to him. It allows that man to come to Jesus. And you know, if you think about that, if Jesus can stop on his way to the cross for a blind beggar, imagine what he would do for you and me. That Jesus is willing to stop and listen to our voice. That Jesus hears our prayers. That Jesus cares about the little details of our life. Even a hike through the woods looking for a lost dog collar. Jesus can help us in those trees. Jesus stops because he's waiting for us. He's ready for us to come back to him. Bartimaeus was ready to respond. And so he throws his cloak aside. He jumps to his feet and he comes to Jesus. That's not an insignificant detail of this text. Because this cloak wasn't just an outer jacket to keep him warm on a cold night. It wasn't just his protection from the weather or the elements. It was his bed at night, and it was also his source of making a living. As a blind man, he would lay out his cloak, and he would trust that people would throw their donations on that jacket so that he could go ahead and find them and be able to pay for the things that he needs. But Bartimaeus is ready to leave all that behind because he's prepared for this moment. He's ready to respond in complete trust because he's been waiting for this person. He's packed well so that he can respond well. You see, are we ready to respond to Jesus' call to us in our middle moments? When it seems like the storm is coming and life is spinning out of control, are we able to hear Jesus calling to us? Are we able to respond with that complete trust? Well, we can respond well to the storms when we're packed with faith. I think of that Boy Scout motto, right? Always be prepared. We want to prepare our faith so that when those storms come, our faith will not be shaken. Well, what does that look like? Well, packing well means taking the time to build up our faith in the calm before the storm arises. We do this by studying and memorizing Scripture. For instance, when I was in college, one of the scripture verses that I memorized in an accountability group that I was a part of was Job 31:1. And Job 31:1 says, "I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman." Now, when you are a college student and you go on spring break or you go to the beach in the summer, that is not the time where you're going to open up your Bible and start thinking, okay, there's all these beautiful ladies around. I think I better pull out my Bible now and start doing a Bible study and figure out what verses are going to help me keep my mind in the right place, right? That's not the time to start the Bible study. We want to prepare ourselves ahead of time. And so memorizing that scripture ahead of time means that when those moments of temptation can come up, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. God can prompt those scripture verses in our minds so that we can hear it in that moment when we need it the most. We prepare our faith, we pack well by cultivating an intimate prayer life with God so that we know that God hears our prayers and knows our hearts so that when that moment comes and we have no idea because we're in over our heads, we have no idea what to even ask God for in that moment, we can know that God already knows our hearts. That God already knows our situation and knows what we are struggling with and is able to respond and intercede for us. We pack well by waiting for and expecting God to hear and answer our prayers. And we pack well by surrounding ourselves with friends that can encourage us in our journey, by joining a small group where we can encourage one another to grow in our faith. Bartimaeus' faith is what gave him that ability to respond well in that moment, to come to Jesus and to put his complete trust in Jesus' ability to meet his needs, to trust him with his needs. And so Jesus responds. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see, Jesus already knows what Bartimaeus wants. Jesus already knows what he needs, but by asking him, he gives Bartimaeus this moment to confess his faith, to share what is on his heart. Do we have the faith to ask Jesus for those things that we need? Do we have the strength to believe in the one who can grant our requests? The one who can change our labels for us. And as a result, Bartimaeus is healed, and it says he followed Jesus. And it makes me wonder, just how far did he go? Did he follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem where he was going next? Was he there at the triumphal entry where everybody was celebrating and saying, "Hosanna, hail to the King, Hosanna in the highest." And he's thinking, "Yeah, this is the man that healed me. This is the man that saved me." Was he there when Jesus was arrested? It was put on trial. Was he there when he was hung on the cross and treated like a criminal? What was going through his mind when he's saying, thinking, "But guys, you got it wrong. This is Jesus, the Messiah, the one who had the power to heal me, the one who heard my voice." Maybe you're here today and there's been something that you've been longing for a very long time. Like Bartimaeus, you have longed to be healed. You have longed to know that God hears your prayers. Maybe you've struggled to persist through those challenges, or maybe you've allowed the voice of someone else or something else to cause yours to fall silent. Maybe you've stood up for those who have had no voice before, and as a result, you've suffered for it. Persistent faith may be hard, but it will be rewarded. Persistent faith is not easy faith, but it is a faith that is rewarded. So I want to encourage you in just a few moments, our worship team's going to come forward. We'll be, during our offering time, there's a moment to pray and to reflect. And I want you to think about that. If Jesus were to ask you what you need right now, if Jesus were to ask you, what would you want? What would you tell him? Do you know what you're looking for? Are you in need of healing today? Have you found yourself in the middle of the storm wanting for an opportunity to change your position, to shed the labels that you've been given, and to start living a new life, walking with Jesus? Or maybe Jesus is asking you to stop for someone else along the way. Maybe you know somebody who's been struggling to have their voice heard, and God is encouraging you to walk alongside of them in this journey. Wherever you may find yourself on your journey, remember that persistent faith may be hard, but it will always be rewarded. So pack well now, so that you can respond well later. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word and the story of Bartimaeus. We thank you, Jesus, that just like you did for Bartimaeus, you are willing to stop, to wait for us. You hear our voice, you know our hearts, you know our prayers, even before we can ask. And so God, in this moment now, we ask that you speak to our hearts and our minds. God, if there is anyone here in need of healing, we pray, God, that you would provide that healing touch for them. That you would give them the encouragement and the hope that they need. God, if there's anybody who's here who's been longing and trying to shed those labels, Lord, we pray that you would speak your truth into their life. That you would stir their hearts and minds, and that your Holy Spirit would minister to us all. God, whether it's coming to Jesus for the first time, or maybe just coming again, help us to live and to respond with complete trust, complete faith, to say, even now in this moment, Jesus, I know I need your help. I know I'm a sinner, I know I've made mistakes, but hear my voice. Hear my cry for your mercy. And heal me from all that ails me. Free me from my sins so that I can live for you. Strengthen my faith now. Jesus.